I urge you, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Let's examine that truth together this morning and consider what Paul has written here. On the back of the bulletin is an outline where we look first at this urgent plea. Paul is not just writing something casually and with complacency. He says, I urge you, people. Some translations say, I beseech you. In other words, Paul is pleading with Christians to pay attention to this. If you are a believer, you can't live a casual Christian life. You can't be on the sidelines. You have to get on the front line. And I urge you, therefore, brethren. The therefore refers to what he has written in the first 11 chapters. And now he's pleading for attention. He is exhorting us to do something about that. If you are a Christian, then you really have to pay attention to this exhortation. I urge you, therefore, brethren, I plead with you, I'm begging you to present your bodies, your life, as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Now, in the second place, let's consider the living sacrifice. As we read about sacrifice in the Bible, and we consider it from what we know of it, we think of sacrifice in terms of death. Jesus' sacrifice was his death. He gave himself in death. Now, the sacrifice we are called to make is not necessarily death, although that has happened to many believers. It is our life. We are alive. What do we do with our life? We sacrifice our life to God. And we no longer live for ourselves. So the living sacrifice is in contrast to death. You're a Christian. God has called you. What are you going to do? How are you going to live? How do you think about your life? So it's living, it's how we live now. And then a further thought about this is the sacrifice is ourselves. Now, as the people lived under the Jewish law, they brought an animal, and the animal was sacrificed. This is different. This sacrifice is ourselves, not our neighbor, not someone else, but our very own life is in view here. Present your body. Present your life. And the sacrifice is giving up our life to live for him. Not life under our control, but life under his control. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies or life a living and holy sacrifice. Now, will you do it? Will you this morning, on this Sunday morning of January 16th in the year 1994, say to God this morning, I give you my life. I'm here to present my life to you, Lord. I give you my body. I want to follow your exhortation here and do it. Will you do it? That's between you and God. And if we call for a decision this morning, sometimes we come to church and we think church is just for unbelievers to come and make a decision to become a Christian. No, church is for believers. And we ought to be making decisions every time we come to church to come under the authority of God's word. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, present your body, present your life as a living sacrifice. Will you do it? I can say to you this morning, I want to do that with all of my heart. Will you pray for me that I will do that sincerely and willingly? Let's consider thirdly then this giving of ourselves and thinking of terms in terms of our bodies. What do we think of? First of all, our minds. It's sort of strange to think of our mind as a part of our body because it's thought life. And yet the brain is in the body. It's a part of the body. Our mind is a part of our body. And so as we give our minds to God, we are fulfilling this scripture. Well, how do we give our minds to God? Our minds are being fed constantly. We feed our minds. Our minds are being filled with something. Our minds are being controlled by someone or something. Then as we become practical about saying, Lord, I give you my mind. I do this morning. Give my mind, my thought life to you, for you to control, and bring my thinking under your authority, and don't let me stray from that. Now, the well-known saying is garbage in and garbage out. What you are willing to have your mind be fed with is the way you're going to live. Garbage in, garbage out. Truth in and truth out. So if we expose ourselves constantly to the Word of God, to the truth of God, that will come out in our life. Whatever comes in, comes out. And so Paul writes here about the renewing of your mind in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we will study next week. But we mention it here, that there is the renewing of the mind through the truth of the Word of God, our mind coming under the authority of God. Now this morning, will you do it? Would you just go on record before God this morning, saying to Him, Lord, on this Sunday of January 16th, 1994, I give you my mind. I give you my thought life. I want you to control my thoughts and keep me from that which is impure and unholy, and I give it to you to control me. Lord, control my moral life through my thoughts. I give my mind to you this morning. Will you do it? If you will, you're following the truth of God's Word. Another area of our life is what we sung about this morning, our eyes and our ears. That's why we had Whitney lead us. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. This morning, we need to give Him our eyes and our ears, because that's the way we are impressed. Our eyes are taking in. Our ears are taking in. We receive impressions. And I'll tell you this morning, there are things in my life which I have heard, which I wish I had never heard, because they still come back. And you can't get rid of it completely. It's there. I wish I'd never heard it. There are things in my life I wish I had never seen because they gave impressions. And sometimes those scenes come back to haunt. I wish I had never seen it and never heard it. Be careful, eyes and ears, what you see and what you hear. Now, we can't entirely be separate from this world of what we see and what we hear. We live here. That's reality. You can't dig a cave and live in it. You've got to live. But what can we do? We can purposely avoid those things that are ungodly about hearing and seeing. And we can, on purpose, be careful of what we see and what we hear, and avoid that, and give our eyes and ears to God. Will you do it? Will you, on this Sunday of January 16th in the year 1994, say to God this morning, Lord, I give you my eyes and my ears, and it's my purpose to have only godly impressions. Another area of our life that we need to consider is our tongue. And let me encourage you today, this afternoon, to read James chapter 3. It's the most complete discussion of the tongue that there is in the Bible, but there's a lot in the Bible about the tongue. And what a creation it is. And how it's an instrument that can be used for absolute rotten, evil stuff. And an instrument for that which is blessedly wonderful and good and wholesome and godly. What a thing it is. And can be evil or good, and must be brought under God's control. Now, I mentioned about what your ears hear are impressions that can come back. What your eyes see are impressions that can come back. And the words we speak are out there. You can't get them back. Have you ever said, I wish I had never said that? Well, I probably don't know if you have. I have, but I know, of course, maybe you haven't. But anyway, that's a thing to be careful about. You can't get it back. I think I told you one time about the fact that I had played golf in the rain. 18 holes of misery. I'll never do it again. It was no fun. Well, the clubs were wet and the grips were wet. And I usually go out in the backyard and swing a club once in a while when I get sleepy just to wake up. So I grabbed this club out of my bag. The grip was still wet. I swung the club out of my hand, over and over and over it goes, right toward the window of our bedroom. Crash! Under the sewing machine, onto the bed. And when I saw that thing sailing through the air, oh, if I could only get you back. I couldn't get it. It's the same thing with our words. Lord, I give you my tongue for blessing. Not for cutting, not for chopping, not for criticism. This could save a marriage if we would give our tongue to the Lord. Must be under his control. It's an interesting thing about the body. How many ears did God create? Two? How many tongues? One. So if we listened twice as much as to what we said, we'd be better. Will you, on January 16th, 1994, say in worship, Lord, I give you my tongue. Lord, bless me. Help me. Control it for me. Give it. Another area of our body is our hands and our feet, which speak of activity. We're doing something with our hands. We're going somewhere with our feet. And our parents have told us, don't do that. Don't go there. And I remember in my teenage years of breaking my mother's heart because I did what she told me not to do, and I went where she told me not to go. Our hands and our feet must be given to God. And God gives us feet to go with the gospel. There's an interesting thing in the Bible. It's in the Psalms, and then it's repeated in Romans chapter 10. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Now, I have never considered feet very beautiful. I don't know, but somehow they just aren't. And the older you get, the worse they get. So feet are not things of much beauty. But in the light of using feet for a spiritual mission, that's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And feet also are created by God in such a wonderful way to help us stand. Help us to stand against evil. And help us to stand for truth. Wonderful thing. Paul wrote that to the Ephesians. Stand for God. Stand up for God. You think of a shortstop in baseball. That's a position where you've got to really be ready to go forward or backward or side. And I remember playing against a kid. It was a shortstop, and no matter where you'd hit that ball, he got it. He was like a cat, and he was ready as a shortstop. A linebacker. How many are going to watch football this afternoon? Don't raise your hand. he's got to be ready. He's got to stand. He's got to have a stance. And you and I as Christians have to stand today as never before because we live in a society that's going down. So our hands and our feet must be given to God. Will you, on January 16th, in the year 1994, say to God, I give you the control of my behavior and conduct, what I do and where I go. Give that this morning. Present your body, your life, a living sacrifice. Now, let me mention something next that we wouldn't ordinarily think as a part of our body, and that is our emotional life. Giving our emotional life to the Lord. And it's a part of the body because the emotions are controlled by the mind. What you think is how you feel. And so we give our emotions to God. What does that mean? It means what we love and what we hate. And we learn to love what God loves and hate what God hates. And that's giving your emotions to God. And how we respond to life, the good things, and the joys, and the disappointments. A big part of life is how we handle disappointment, and how we handle difficulties, and how we view ourselves, and we give our emotional life. What do you love? And what do you hate? Is it what God loves? And is it what And does he have control of our emotions? Would you this morning, in an act of worship, say to the Lord our God, I give you my emotional life. But love what you love and hate what you hate. Now the Apostle Paul says that if we do that, that our sacrifice is holy and pleasing to God. This is a holy act of worship. What is holy? The basic meaning of the word is to be set apart. And what we would be doing this morning if we respond to this passage is to say, Lord, I give myself to you to be set apart from this world, to be willing to be different, to be willing to pursue holiness, to be willing to pursue righteousness, to live for your glory and your glory only, and I give myself to you for that, and I thank you, Father, that that pleases you. Isn't it a strange thing that we who are sinners could possibly do anything that could please holy God? And yet, he has said, he is pleased when we come to give ourselves. Now, what is the motivation for doing this? Why do this? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That is it. We're saying, why do this? It's because of the mercies of God in our life. It's the response to God's grace. Lord, I thank you so much for my election. I thank you so much for my salvation. I can do nothing less. There is no other reasonable response in the world than to give myself to you. He first loved us. He first gave himself to us, and we love him because he loved us. Now we love and give. And Paul says this is a reasonable thing. This is our spiritual act of worship. Let me read for you this morning Ephesians 2 and just listen and catch the impact of this truth. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too, all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By Christ, by grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as the result of works that no one should boast. That's the spelling out of the mercies of God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, having no hope and no spiritual life, but God, who is rich in mercy, saved us by his grace. Now the response to that is I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, as the response to God's grace, present your body, your life, a living sacrifice to Him. Will you do it? Will you, on this Sunday morning, in a worship service at a Royal Bible Church, January 16, 1994, make a covenant with the Lord your God and say, Lord, I follow this truth. I receive your exhortation. This morning, I give myself to you. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll work mightily in our hearts at this moment and bring us to a spirit of worship, to a level of response to your grace that is holy and pleasing to you. We present ourselves to you this morning. Thank you that you accept us and take us into your own heart. And we pray that you will use us for your glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.